Thank you for once again finding your way back to the Martin Mysteries and the trio of mystery solvers and their merry adventures. We are up to Chapter 8 now, Independence Day. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Gettysburg Paradox.
July 4th, 1863, dawned clear and hot. Clara hadn't slept. The asset, whoever Mrs. Thornton had recruited to deliver her documents to Lincoln, was still unknown, and the president would arrive within hours. "We watch everyone," Clara told Chamberlain. "Every person who gets close to Lincoln, every document that changes hands." The ceremony was held in the town square, thousands gathered to honor the dead and celebrate victory. Lincoln himself was taller than Clara expected, his face lined with weariness, his dark eyes missing nothing. The speeches began. General Meade spoke of bravery. General Howard described the victory's significance. Clara watched every face, every movement. Then Lincoln rose to speak. His voice carried across the square, words about sacrifice and unity that Clara half remembered from history class. And as he spoke, she saw it. A young officer edging through the crowd toward the platform, his movements too purposeful, too directed. He was carrying something. "Flynn, 2 o'clock, the lieutenant." Flynn's eyes found him. "He's got documents." Clara didn't hesitate. She pushed through the crowd, closing the distance. The officer reached the platform's edge just as Lincoln finished. "Mr. President, documents from the War Department. Urgent." Lincoln's hand reached out. Clara crashed into the officer, sending them both sprawling. The portfolio flew from his hands, papers scattered everywhere. Guards rushed forward. "He's an assassin," Clara shouted. "Check the documents." Chaos erupted. Guards held them both at gunpoint while soldiers gathered the papers. Then Chamberlain appeared, holding Papa's notes. "Sir, these papers aren't from the War Department. They're fabrications from the future, designed to manipulate your decisions." Lincoln read everything in silence. The forged letter, the temporal mechanics notes, the intercepted messages. Then he looked at Clara. "You're one of the travelers from another time." "Yes, sir." "And you came to protect me?" "To protect history, sir." Lincoln smiled. "Then perhaps we should talk." In a small room in the Gettysburg Town Hall, they told Lincoln everything. The time machine, Mrs. Thornton, the paradox. The president listened without interrupting. "Mrs. Thornton believed that she was fixing history," he said finally, "making a better future." "But she was wrong," Clara said firmly. "Perhaps. But history is not simple, children. Who can say with certainty what path leads to the best outcome?" "Well, we know the Union wins," Jude said. "We know slavery ends, and we know the nation survives. Those are facts worth protecting." Lincoln smiled that weary, wondering smile. "You remind me of my own sons, young, fierce, absolutely convinced the world can be made better." As he stood, "Perhaps that's what we need most." "What will you do with the documents?" Clara asked. "Destroy them. Such things could only cause confusion." He moved to the door. "As for Mrs. Thornton, I'll have my people watch for her, but I suspect she's retreated to try again." "We'll stop her," Clara said, "whatever it takes." "I believe you will," Lincoln paused. "But remember, this is not your battle to fight permanently. You have your own future to return to. History will remember this day as a victory. Let it remember you as heroes who went home." He left. The room fell silent. "He's right," Flynn said. "We need to focus on the beacon and get home." Clara wanted to argue, but looking at Jude's pale face, at everyone's exhaustion, "Okay. We focus on going home. And if Mrs. Thornton tries anything else, well, then we stop her again. That's what we Martins do." Barring some unforeseen circumstance, it sounds like the Martin Trio has averted some historical disaster. Now they need to get home. Tune in next time and see if they make it.